story, at least, of a returning son, isn't it? He's lost, but he comes back. Now, the idea, of course, as you read through this chapter, as it starts out, Jesus is really putting a word into those Pharisees that are there with him. He is telling, in the previous chapter, he's telling people what it takes to be a disciple for him. And if you remember, preached on that maybe not too long ago, in verses 25 through the end of chapter 14, verses 25 through the end of the chapter, and we talk about how that, you know, you have to count the cost and pick up your cross and all those things that Jesus has told them. And at the end of it, he said that if the salt has lost its savor, if the salt has lost its taste, it's no good. It's not fit for anything, not fit even, he says, for the dunghill. But it's to be cast out. And he said, let anybody that wants to hear that hear. And these Pharisees are listening. And they're hearing all this stuff. And, of course, they're looking at him. And I think Brother Sprayberry was talking about this the other night, about how that they said, well, he receives sinners and he eats with them. Look at him. So Jesus is in this parables and this set of parables, he is telling them the story of, hey, that's what this thing's all about. Looking for lost people, looking for, as he gives a description of a lost sheep and a lost coin, and then he talks about a son that goes away and is practically at the point of being lost to his family. So that's where he's at. He's trying to get them to wake up and see you need to turn from what you're holding on to as far as religion and get saved and get right with God. That's what the point of it is, right? So look with me, if you will, in verse number 11. And it says, and he said, this is the continuation of these previous two, and a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, this morning. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the morning. Thank you again for your word. Thank you for the good time of fellowship and the good time of worship, a good time of just coming and coming together in your name. And I pray now you add your blessings and you add your touch to the word of God this morning, that it may say something to us, that it may say something to those that need you more than anything today, that it may say something to those that need to draw up close and just realize the goodness and the wonder of being in the Father's house and with the Father's people. And we thank you again for all that you're doing for us. Save the lost. Speak to every one of our hearts today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to preach to you today about a long trip home. A long trip home. I want you to look at this story and let's think about this today. As this young man, and we say young man, I'm sure that he's the younger of the sons of the father, as a young man and what he does and where it takes him. And as I say, we all know this story, but maybe we can see something just maybe a little bit different in it here today. First of all, I want you to talk with you about this. I want you to see that this young man has the direction seemingly for his life, because first of all, there is a want for the world. A want for the world. I really feel like in reading this, it says that this younger says to the father in verse 12, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. I think this young boy had a plan all along on what he wanted to do. Now, he might not have spilled the beans immediately. He might not have put that plan out there and said, Dad, here's what I'm thinking about doing. I'm going to go try myself out. I'm going to go into the world, and I'm just going to go, and I'm going to cut myself away from everything here, and I'm going to have a good time. But I think that's what was in his heart. Can I tell you, there's a lot of folks today, and they may be sitting in a church house. They may be sitting in their own house. They may be sitting anywhere else in this world. But they're devising plans in their hearts on how they can break away from what they feel like maybe that they're trapped in. I mean, they feel like, here I am, and I'm in this place. I'm in this position, and I want to get away. And I've talked to folks before down through the years, especially couples that were looking to get married, and we go through a little bit of counseling and begin to talk about it, and you'd be surprised at the number of folks that want to get married because they just would like to be away from the home environment that they're in. And they see that as some way to separate out from what they're in. They don't like that place, and they don't know what else to do. So they say, well, you know what? I'll just get married to the first young man or young lady that'll come along and have me, and that's good. I'll get away from it. And brother, let me tell you, it happens every day. Let me just tell you something, young men, young ladies. That's not a good reason to get married, okay? That's not a good basis to build your life. And now you can, and it may work out, and it may do well, but I'm just telling you, that's not a good reason. This boy had something in his heart, and he began to want something that he didn't think that he had there at home. He began to want the world. I want you to notice that. First of all, as I say, he had a desire to be loosed from the Father's house. His desire was to be loose. He didn't want home. He didn't want the responsibility. He didn't want anybody telling him what to do. He wanted to be his own man. He wanted to go try himself in the world. Any of those phrases you want to use, that's what he had, a desire to be loosed. He said, I want to be my own man. I'm going to go out and make my own way. I'm going to learn how to live. I'm going to learn how to, hey, again, that's not a good reason for trying it. Amen. That's why he had a desire to be loose. But second of all, I want you to know he was drawn by the picture of a lifestyle. He was drawn. He said, oh boy, out there, look what's out there. Man, I'm telling you, if you and I tried to live our life by looking at everybody else's life on Facebook, everybody else is doing well. Everybody else is smiling out. Everybody else has got it made. Everybody else having fun. Everybody else is doing whatever. I mean, boy, hey, I wish my life could be. I'm going to tell you something. Those lives are not what you think they are either. Those pictures may look pretty, and they may look like this right now, but can I tell you, back behind the scenes, it's not what it all appears to be. It's not like that. It's not always like that. I can tell you, friend, we've done seen too many families and too many people where things have flown to pieces. I'm just telling you, hey, this old boy said, hey, that's drawing me. That's pulling me. And I'm telling you, the pull of this world will get into the hearts of every one of us if we'll let it. And this young boy, for some reason, it says, you know, in verse 13, not many days after the father has done this, it says, he gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Woo! I'm going to the big city. I'm going to the bright light. I'm going where it's bigger and better and everything. Woo! It's just calling my name, you know. That's the idea that he had. He had a desire to be loosed. He had the draw of that picture of a lifestyle that he seemed to have in his mind. It was pulling him. It was drawing him. You know, there's somebody, oh, that's just calling me. You know, Los Angeles is just calling my name. New York City, here I come. I mean, there's people that have that kind of attitude. But can I tell you, let me tell you, it gets kind of flat down there sometimes in the realities of those things. So here's this young man. He's got all of this drawing him, calling him. He's got the desire. But I want you to know what happens. After a while, he gets drained of all of the money that he has. You see what it says? And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. He began to waste everything that he had. And look what it says in verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Uh-oh, he got drained of everything that he thought would do him. Amen? Boy, I'm telling you, that's the way the world will do you. And I'm telling you, this is the world. I mean, he had the want of this world was in his heart. And he began, I've got to go. But you know what's going to happen? Pretty soon, you're going to be drained of everything that you had. You're going to be drained of your money. You're going to be drained of the stuff that you counted on behind you. I mean, everything that you got, there's nothing to fall back on. And there he is. And all of that develops because of his want of this world. In other words, what I'm saying is, this world, boy, I'm glad the songwriter said, this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. Oh, listen, I got something that's built up waiting for me, and it's way beyond this blue. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Heaven's door open, and they beckon me, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Do you get that? Thank God, I'm glad. Hey, but when you get this world in your heart, that's what it'll do to you. That's the same thing that happened to Lot over in the Old Testament. The Bible said that he looked over here at the well-watered plains of Mamre, and those things were calling to him. He said, I believe I'll go there. Oh, look what's over there. Thank God, let me tell you something. You better have something in here, or what's over there will draw you away from what is here. Amen. Amen. You better get anchored somewhere. So here's this young man, and you see the want of the world. But second of all, I want you to see the weariness that's in this world. Look at the weariness that's in this world. I want you to notice when you look at this here, he had a want of the world. But now, I want you to see at the end of verse 14 again, it says, and he began to be in want. First of all, I want you to see that. You see his want. This world will wear you out, and it'll put you in the place of a want. You may have amassed, you may have inherited, you may have gotten, but I'm telling you, the world will take everything you got and then some. I mean, it'll get you, and it'll use you, it'll wear you out, it'll tear you out. This world wants to work and tear down everything there is in your life. Amen? It'll do it, and I'm telling you, you see that there is his want. He has no reserve. He ain't got nothing left. You see that? The Bible said, and not many days after, verse 14, when he'd spent all, he spent everything he had. Didn't think about saving it. Didn't think about tomorrow. Didn't think about what? Oh, well, somebody will surely help me. Can I tell you, he got to that place where he was in a place of want. You see what it says in verse 16? He's talking about where he's gone to work in the fields, and it says he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Look, and no man gave to him. The world don't care about you. The world's not, oh, yeah, we'll take care. Come on in. We'll take care. No. If they do, they're wanting something out of that. There's got to be some gain. There's got to be some something on your part. Brother, there's nobody. Thank God, aren't you glad Jesus does it out of the goodness and out of the mercy, out of the grace of his love for us. You remember the story of when Ruth is walking in the fields there of Boaz, and Boaz tells her, you come to the table and eat, and you don't get too hot, and I've commanded my men not to touch you. And, you know, he goes through and tells her all this stuff. He said, don't go out of this field. You stay here. Don't go anywhere. And, you know, he goes through all of that with her. And she looks at him, and she says, what have I done to deserve what good you're doing for me? Can I tell you, that's the same thing. Woo! He said, well, it's been showed me. He said, there's some things. Hey, aren't you glad God looked down and said, I saw that you had a need. I saw you was in a mess. I saw you was in the far country. I saw you was in the hog pen. I saw you was in a place where you couldn't do nothing for yourself. And I came to your rescue. Amen. Amen. This young man began to be in want. Isn't that a horrible place to be? And you know, some of us, we look around today and we say, well, preacher, you know, blah, 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 they ought not to be like that. Now, hey, you've been there at some time in your life. You've been up against it. You've been when funds were low. You've been where times were hard. I guarantee you, probably every one of us in this room, we've been there at some time in our life. Amen? It's just what you had to depend on to back you up. It's just who you had that could come and help in those times of need for you. Many of us have had family. But you see, this boy's left his family. This boy's left, and he don't have any friends. Hey, the friends hung around till the money run out. When the drinks were gone, when the party was over, all the friends left out too. Amen? That's the way this world will do you. He began to be involved. He had no reserve. He had no help. And he had no chance of relief inside. I mean, there's nothing. There was nobody there that could help him. It said he'd spent all, and there arose a mighty famine in that land. He came up to a place where there was an absolute terrible famine in that land. You're going to run into a time of famine. Oh, it might not be that, you know, the groceries ain't there, and it might not be some of these disasters. No, it might just be that, buddy, you've got a dearth, a dark place, a dead place. I mean, just a dirty, rotten spot in your life. And, brother, there ain't nobody can help you when you get there. And here he was. And no man. Gave to him. You know what the psalmist David said in one of the psalms? He said, and no man cared for my soul. And I'm telling you, out in the world, that's where you are. There's nobody out there. He began to be, and you see his want. Second of all, you see his work. Look what it says in verse number 15. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Wow. Sign me up for that. I mean, I want to go slop the hogs, don't y'all? I want to get out there and walk around in that mud, muck, and mire with a bunch of old nasty hogs and try to feed them. And let me tell you something. Man, you ever been around hogs? I mean, let me just tell you one thing. In case you ain't got it, go out sometime to a farm. They stink. Amen? I mean, they stink. What they eat stinks. They stink. And guess what? They like it to stink. They waller in it. They roll in it. And they just continue in the stink. And you know what? If you're there feeding them, you're in the stink with them. Amen? I mean, that's where this boy is. He's like, well, I got to do something. I got to. And listen, it must not have been a real good job, because the thing was, hey, he was just so famished and so hungry, he was ready to eat some of the stuff that the hogs was eating. He's in a bad spot. I remember a long time ago, we had a guy in a group that we were part of, and it's been years ago down in Chattanooga Valley. And he come in, he said, at the end of our little meeting that we had, he said, hey, anybody here want a job? And he said, you know anybody that wants a job? He said, now, if you come to me and tell me you want a job or you know somebody, he said, this is a job. He said, and it ain't a pretty job, it ain't a good job, and it ain't a great smelling job. He said, but I know where you can get a job. And so afterwards I went to him and I said, hey, Bill, what are you talking about? He said, well, I know somebody that needs somebody to clean the floor of a slaughterhouse. He said, now, I'm telling you, if somebody needs a job, he said, he was an inspector for the state of Georgia, and he went in and inspected these facilities. He said they told him that they were hunting somebody just to clean the floors after they got through with a day's work. Well, I didn't recommend too many people for that job. Because, you know, most people said, I ain't doing that. I mean, it's blood and guts and goosh and oosh. That's what you'd be up to your knees in. And I'm thinking, I don't know nobody wants that. Hey, and he said, well, I'm telling you, it's a job, but it ain't a good one. That's what this boy had. He had a job, all right, but his work was something that would be revolting to the majority of us. But you know what? Hey, that boy was trying to find just a little bit. And here he is in the weariness of the... I'm just telling you, this world will wear you out. And then it'll try to make you like it. Well, you said you wanted something to do. Here we got you. Boy, isn't that terrible? So here you see his want. You see his work. And really, we see him when he is just really at his wit's end. He's at his wit's end. Look what he said in verse 17. When he came to himself, he was at his wit's end. What am I going to do? And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He is at the end of his thinking. What am I going to do? He said, if I think about home, if I think about daddy, if I think about what I left behind, hey, I know what's there. Look what he says. I'm going to arise in verse 18. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. It's got to be better than what's going on right now. He came to his wit's end. But I want you to see a third thing this morning. It's one of the best things that I have ever seen. The welcome home from the world. Boy, I'm glad there's a welcome. A welcome home for those that are wearied. For those that wanted the world. Thank God there's a father that's standing there and says, come on home, son. We've been waiting to see you. Aren't you glad of that? Boy, listen, the Bible tells us, first of all, in verse number 20, it said, and he arose, and he came to his father. I want you to notice there's a little transition in our reading. Do you see that where it said, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him. I want you to first of all see the compassion of this father. Can you see the compassion that is shown to him? That daddy, I want you to know, they probably wasn't nobody else around looking down the road every day, but old daddy went out there and he's looking at the end and he saw somebody. He said, that's my boy. He's coming home. Hallelujah. I mean, he began to realize, hey, those prayers and that time of my heartbreak, it's about over. The prayers are being answered and I see my son coming home. Amen. I mean, he had compassion on him. He had a heart that was looking. He had a heart that was praying. He had a heart that was longing. He had a heart that was desiring. I mean, he wanted that son back with everything he had in him. And it said, oh, but the father, he was yet a great way off. Isn't that amazing? God knows you no matter how far away you've gone. He don't care how far away you, he still sees you when you turn and you head back home. That old boy has made up his mind. I'm telling you, he's got the stench of that hog pen on him. He's got the filth of the world. He's got the brokenness of his life. And he's a trudging down that road. He's probably lost some weight. He's probably got a different look on his hair and his face and his very, very body, as I say. He's all broken down. But that daddy said, woo, I know him. I know who that is. And his compassion. I mean, that father, you know, there's a lot of folks. Well, when you straighten up, we might see about letting you come back. Y'all remember that old song? Now, come on, some of you spiritual folks, y'all say, preacher, we don't live. Yeah, okay, whatever. You don't listen to it. It's a song a long time ago, and it's called Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree. Y'all remember that? Yep, okay, hallelujah. Y'all more spiritual than I thought. Well, anyway, praise God, Tony Orlando and Dawn. Somebody say amen right there. Anyway, they sang this song about, you know, somebody being gone, and it was like, you know, I wrote a letter home, and if my mom and daddy are going to want me to come, or I think the Kingsmen sang that version, but, you know, if you want me to come back, tie a yellow ribbon. And, you know, the song says and the one I think the Kingsmen sang, he said, the old preacher looked at the boy on the train, and he said, preacher, I can't even look. When we're getting ready to get there, will you look for it? He said, son, that old oak tree is in full blossom. There's yellow ribbons, and there's a mom and daddy out there with a banner and said, come on home, son. Woo, ain't you glad of that? Hey, that's the kind of compassion that our father has. That's what Jesus is trying to show this problematic and disillusioned bunch of Pharisees. Oh, well, you got to do it our way. They're the kind that say, well, when you show me, you straighten up. No, sir. That father loved him. He said, come on back. And that old boy said, Daddy, I've done wrong, and I'm not even worthy. And if you'll just make, he said, whoop, forget all that. Thank God he had compassion. He fell on his neck, that old dirty, nasty neck, and he kissed him. Amen. Amen? Huh? That little lady over there won't let me kiss her sometime when she's been out there working in them flowers and got, she said, I'm sweaty. I said, I don't care. Amen. Kissing you anyway. Woo! Hallelujah. Let me just tell you, that's the kind of father that we have. He had compassion. Now, ain't wasn't nobody else looking. Ain't wasn't nobody else checking it. But I can tell you, that father's heart was so full of the compassion for his son. He saw him when he's yet a great way off. Amen? Aren't you glad of that? You see the compassion. But not only do you see the compassion, you see the covering that he provides. It says that father kissed him, and the son said unto him in verse 21, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, no more worthy to be called your son. Look at what it said in verse 22. You got another one of them conjunctions. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Y'all go up out the house, get in that closet, bring out the best robe that there is in the house. And he said, and put it on him, and bring a ring, and put a ring on his hand, and put some shoes on this boy's feet. He done lost everything, and I'm going to put it back to him. Amen. Woo, aren't you glad of that? Amen. I mean, he clothed him. You know what? When you got saved, you came in the ragged, tattered garments of your sin. You came in the filth of your own self-righteousness. That's what Isaiah said. He said, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And he said, we came, you know what he said? Get rid of them and bring out one of them new, pure white robes from made pure by the blood of the Lamb. Bring it and put it on. Clothe him in the righteousness of heaven. Amen. And then he said, put a ring on his finger. What'd that mean? That meant he had a place of authority that was within that family. He was one of them. Give him a ring. Thank God the Lord placed a Holy Ghost ring on the seal of our hearts when he saved us that day. And then he put shoes on our, he gave us something. Thank God the gospel of the peace of God. He put that on our feet. We can go singing that song, telling that story, excited about what he's done for us. Amen. Isn't that exactly what God wants? Oh, that's what he did for this boy. He didn't even listen to those, I don't do this, don't do, yeah. I mean, listen, people want to come sometime, make deals with God. God's not interested in your deals. He just wants to know you're broken, you're sorry, and you're ready to come home. Amen? I don't know where you are this morning, but that's what he's saying. So you see his compassion. You see his covering. And then I want you to notice, you want you to see his celebration. He looks at him and says in verse 23, and he's told him, go back and get the ring, go back and get the shoes, go back and get the clothes, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Amen. You see what Jesus has just said in those other two portions about the parable of the lost sheep. And he says in verse 6 of this same chapter, verse 6, when he'd come home, he called his friend, the shepherd's gone out, found the sheep, and he says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Amen. He said, and likewise I say, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which needed no repentance. And then in that second story about the coin, he says in verse number 2, when she found it, the lady that lost, she called her friends together and said, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. He said, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. Amen? You know what the daddy said? Let's have a party. My son was lost. He was gone. But thank God he's home now. Let's rejoice. Amen. Kill the fatty calf. Bring out the very best. Bring out the very best that there is. Boy, I'm telling you, didn't that make older son mad?
Well, you never done any of that for me.
Well, it's always been there. All you had to do was ask. Amen. There's some folks sit around the church.
Well, what's that little pipsqueak shouting about over there? What's he going?
You can do the same thing, son. It's wide open for you too. Amen. The rejoicing is open. I mean, come on in. Let's just have. There is a time of celebration. Y'all remember Brother Dana Williams used to talk about the kind of days that we had in our life. Some days are problematic days. We have days with problems. And then some days are just plain old days. There nothing happens. It's just, you know, you just go through that day. But there are some days that are party days. And this is one of them. They began to be merry. They began to rejoice in that one that had come home. Jesus said, over one sinner, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Amen. And you know what he did, the Father? He said, everybody, come on. Well, Father, we're just the higher up. Y'all come on in too. We're going to have a ball. I'll bring all the family, bring all the servants, bring everybody, and let's just shout her out because it's worth rejoicing over. Can I tell you, you're here this morning. And if you're not saved, the Lord will save you, and you're worth rejoicing over. Amen? Oh, isn't it amazing? I think Brother Sprayberry was singing that song the other day that he had written about the good shepherd. And he said, I stand amazed at the shepherd standing here rejoicing over me. And you know what? I can't hardly get over that. When I think about, what am I that the Lord would want to rejoice? But he does. He wants to rejoice over you this morning if you just simply come to him. He wants to rejoice. He wants us to gather up. He'd say, church, get around him. Let's just have a shouting good time. Let's rejoice. Let's be glad for what the Lord has done. Amen? Brother Ronnie, come on. We're going to get ready and sing a song this morning, and we're going to end.